First, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this very special symposium. And I'm very honored and very pleased to be here. I don't know, is this a... Thank you. And to the audience, I will apologize for reading my text so that I will not waste time on thinking to find the right words. I will speak very much out of my practice and about some of our experiences at Riksutställningar, that is quite a unique institution in Swedish cultural life. When asked what is so unique, we say that it is our thinking of mobility. Riksutställningar is today, since the year of 2000, a government department, financially depending on an annual grant from the Ministry of Cultural Affairs. Our brief states that we shall help to preserve our cultural heritage by developing and disseminating knowledge and experience, and in this way, affording people a perspective on the development of society. We are to produce traveling exhibitions and to distribute both our own productions and outside productions in a number of different fields. We are also to contribute our experience and expertise pertaining to the science of exhibitions and to work with the artistic, educational, and technological development of the medium. Our roots go back to the 60s. Focus. Our roots go back to the 60s and the lively debate about cultural politics in Sweden. As in many other countries, all the sociological studies show that visitors to museums and exhibits were a pretty homogeneous group. But national collections belong to the entire people and form part of the national heritage. The government accordingly in 1966 set up a commission to look into how objects from central museum collections could be shown safely and in an educative manner beyond the limits of Stockholm. What was unusual about the brief to the commission was that it included the practical work in producing traveling exhibitions, as well as a theoretical study. The idea was that cultural justice could be achieved in a distributive fashion from the center to the periphery. These ideas are well illustrated in this picture from the very first exhibit, A Century of Nationalmuseum. It was organized as a celebration of the centenary of the national art collections. The exhibitions contained a succession of masterpieces with works by Gauguin, Matisse, Picasso, Watteau, and ancient Chinese sculpture and 18th century tapestries. Here we see the director of Riksutställningar kneeling in front of Rembrandt's Simon and the Infant Jesus, together with the only woman of the museum's governing board and the men in charge of packing and conservation under strong guard of armed policemen. I had just taken my degree in sociology and was engaged to travel with the exhibition that could develop the concept of traveling exhibitions and that was not bogged down in its own collections. During a 10-year period, after which we became permanent, we experimented with the form of the exhibitions as well as the contents. We collaborated with museums, libraries, schools, and the adult educational associations that are a feature of Swedish life. We tried hard to find new venues, even outdoor, in public parks. In the meantime, we built up our own production resources in order to meet the special needs of traveling, durability, flexibility, and mobility. Of course, there was jealousy from museums of the money we received from the state. But what many did not understand was that Riksutställningar, in point of fact, also was a joint resource for the entire museum sector. The exhibition that aroused the most interest during these years was Beautiful Moments, which was produced during the politically turbulent year of 1968. The idea came from an artist passionately involved in the problems of the Third World. He wanted to shed light on the relations between the industrial and underdeveloped countries. The main aim was to stimulate a debate. Riksutställningar backed the theme of the exhibition, but also stressed the importance of finding out about the possibilities of creating opinion through art. A group of 9 artists, several of whom were central figures in Swedish art in the 60s, produced the exhibition within the framework of the original concept. The exhibit was designed like a fairground with the colored lights between the sideshows and taped sound from a real fair, and was highly critical of Swedish policy towards the Third World. The catalog in the format of a tabloid elaborated the critic. All this aroused enormous publicity. People questioned whether museums were really the right place for a political exhibition. There were discussions daily in the national press. Most of the debate dealt not with the art, but with the message that it conveyed. People questioned whether it was right for this government-funded operation to use its grant for what was termed violently extreme communist propaganda. The debate even reached Parliament, and the Minister of Education, who at the time was Olof Palme, defended the exhibition. His view was that it was unavoidable and indeed desirable that political values found expression in different forms of art, and that merely because the operation was financed from the public purse, this did not mean that the government supported the ideas that were presented. The director of Riksutställningar gave his opinion that exhibitions were now becoming a medium, an opportunity for debate and a forum for gatherings, and that it was important that the institutions should provide opportunities for presenting different opinions. The most serious threat against the whole institution was encountered in the middle of the 90s. When another commission was set up to consider the aims and structure of the nationally owned and financed museums. We protested forcefully against the proposal that our grant should be distributed among other producers, and that we instead should offer to organize exhibits produced by other institutions. We managed to produce convincing arguments that it is precisely in the practical work that our own expertise in the field can be best conveyed to others. In our counter-proposal, we suggested that we should gather together our resources and use them for productions no other institutions could undertake. We also proposed developing and strengthening our work with Swedish and international contemporary art. And it was thus that I had the very pleasure to work with Vera Frenkels from The Transit Bar and Body Missing. One project in Riksutställningar's history that generated a very great deal of interest and that fitted in very well with the policy aims was the exhibition train. In the mid-80s, our then-director returned from a trip to Australia, where he had seen an exhibition train. He launched the idea of a Swedish train very persuasively and with vast enthusiasm. And by 1987, there was an exhibition train of 4 coaches, 3 for the exhibition and 1 for the staff. The first exhibition, entitled The Landscape in a New Light, was produced together with Moderna Museet in Stockholm. The next exhibition, God Heavens, Such Beauty, sought to promote a discussion of beauty. The exhibition consisted of more than 100 objects loaned from some 20 museums around the country. An unusual and much debated feature of the exhibition was the fact that there were no texts accompanying the objects. And the objects were from different times and different cultures, and were put together in a very confronting way. My task was the educational program, and to fit out what we called the media coach, with a library, a collection of illustrated catalog covers, pictures and posters, so that visitors could learn more about the objects in the exhibition, and to hire mime artists. We engaged them and dancers and actors to be guides in the exhibition and talk to the visitors. The train toured all over the country, from north to south, summer and winter alike. It stopped for about a week at stations in many small and distant places that often had no other premises. "Just think that you take the trouble to come to us," was a frequently heard comment. It became very evident that we had succeeded in meeting a public that was not used to exhibitions, and equally obvious that we were working with new categories of organizers. For the place we were going to visit, there were several months of preparation with activating and preparing local schools and societies. Track Down the City was sadly the last exhibition, the last train exhibition. The train was made possible by support of the Sweden's government-owned railway corporation, which made the train available, serviced it, and provided the necessary drivers and maintenance staff. Riksutställningar was responsible for the contents and for running the exhibitions. In fact, the train acted as a complete museum with an exhibition and staff, a media coach, and even a small museum shop. Details differed depending on the exhibition being shown. From during 13 years, 6 exhibitions were produced, 2 of them aimed specifically at children and young people. From the point of view of Riksutställningar, the exhibition train demanded very large resources. The exhibitions became increasingly complex. They required a long period of planning and production, a lot of staff and a lot of technology. Building the exhibition was an exciting challenge. Since we controlled the space ourselves and were building fixed installations, we could try out advanced techniques and stretch the limits. Our ambitions increased with each production, as did experiments with new materials and solutions, which simultaneously meant greater uncertainty and vulnerability. In the last exhibition, for example, concrete was used, and this necessitated exchanging one of the coaches for one that could support the greater weight. The real commitment was required to keep the entire tour going. In practice, it meant one opening each week, and it meant a lot of joint planning with local organizers. Special staff had to be engaged and trained, and there were many problems to be solved, from determining the working hours of the guides to finding financial support for the running costs of each exhibition. And finally, the whole enterprise became too demanding, and when the rail track authority pulled up old rails that were no longer in use, we lost many possible stopping places and thereby the opportunity of visiting many smaller localities. Thus far, we have experimented with trains, trailers, and boats. Now we need a stimulating mobile space to replace the train. Our current trailer has an exhibition space of 50 square meters. We are now planning a larger one offering 100 square meters. And this must be efficient and attractive, a kind of exclamation mark in the cityscape that attract visitors on the square, the schoolyard, or other unexpected places. With the help of an architect, we have produced two possible models. We have received a specified allocation from government funds for developing the proposal, which is a kind of a highly imaginative vessel that can spread its elegant wings. And we are currently in the process of finding technical and aesthetic solutions, as well as negotiating contracts for the construction of a prototype. Difficult matters, objects and narratives that disturb and affect, is a project that includes not only the trailer installation, it is an exhibition and a field station, but also seminars and publication. It uses the idea of dangerous things and difficult narratives to animate a collaborative process. A number of curators were invited to participate by selecting one object from their own museum collections together with its story. 54 curators responded, and besides the stories, they conveyed also their own difficulties with the material. Should some of these things even be in a museum collection? And if they are there already, is it proper to exhibit them? The process continued during the almost 1 year long tour. The visitors were invited to bring their own objects and stories. And the two traveling field ethnologists registered and photographed the objects and put them into red archival boxes. Almost 300 objects were registered and became part of the installation space. The project involved collaboration with SAMDOC, which is the Swedish Museum's network for researching contemporary society. The background to the project was the discussion about the museum's collection policies and what is that museums collect and hand on to posterity. Have museums become monuments to success and progress, successful and well organized? What has happened to the objects that are associated with disappointments, with sorrow and distress, with intolerance and vulnerability? The discussion could continue because the exhibition was at the same time a problem study that formed the basis of the conference Museums 2000 Confirmation or Challenged, arranged jointly by the Swedish branch of ICOM, Riksutställningar, and the Swedish Museum Associations. Children and youngsters form one of the target groups to which we give priority. As a result of our changed priorities into larger projects, we lost our school contacts. Right now, I am working and developing a project that deals with questions about food. This exhibit will be shown in school dining rooms And I think this is a very special and exciting challenge. In this very noisy place, we will try to catch the attention of the pupils for a while and see whether they will find the exhibit attractive enough to experience, reflect upon, and create also their own works. Together with the teacher training departments at the universities, we intend to set up a study to see what actually happens when the artists and the designers go into the school. How will it be possible to view the exhibit as an aesthetical learning process and be part of the daily life in schools? Being awarded the title of the Museum of the Year 2001 came as a surprise. We view it as a confirmation of the fact that after almost 40 years of operation, Riksutställningar has now become accepted in the museum sector and has become an important cultural institution. Looking back at projects like Beautiful Moments, one may wonder whether it would be possible today to produce a controversial exhibit like that. This was a powerful, highly political exhibition, much in the spirit of the day. And at the time, Riksutställningar was a young and experimental institution. One can ask to what extent this is an expression of a different epoch, and to what extent it is a matter of Riksutställningar today having the status of a government department with a well-established operation. Today, there is a different political approach. We still want to produce exhibitions that move visitors, that annoy them, and bring out their commitments. We are much more concerned working with processes, with discussions, participation, and interactivity. And this makes for a different approach, more cautious and softer. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to ask your indulgence and we're going to keep moving because we have some really interesting material yet to cover. Thank you very much, Leah.